This is the first KPFT finance meeting of the 2025 LSB. My name is Lyndon Foley. I'm the treasurer of KPFT LSB, and it is 7:05 on February 26th, a Wednesday. We will begin with roll call, and I'll do it. I have a list here, although I thought there was one, we were short one person. I guess it was Susan Phillips. I didn't see her name here, but anyway. So Melissa Bowie, not here yet. Lillian Kerr, check her. Lillian, say hi.
Hello. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Adriana Casanet.
Here.
Thank you. Rajat Chopra. Glenn Etienne. Lyndon Foley here. Jerry Fowler. Rhonda Gardner.
Rhonda Gardner is present.
Thank you. Robert Gartner. Rob Lee.
Present.
Mike Lewis. Anita Lang. Marianne Martinez.
Present.
Thank you. Sean Kelly McPherson.
I am.
Yes, you are. Tori Mercer. Stuart Nance. Rick Norris. Jane Scheidler. Debbie Smith. Ron.
Debbie's on trail ride.
Right. Ron Stubbers.
Stubbers.
Okay, my bad. Sandy,
present.
You're on this list, but you're not an LSB member, but Michael Woodson, Colby Wright, Susan Young, and
Susan Young here.
Susan Phillips.
Susan Phillips is not an LSB member.
Oh, okay.
I think she and Rico are attending. Let me just also point out that I know there's a question about do we accept excused absences, but Debbie Smith, I believe, requests an excused absence because she's on the trail ride. I know, Lyndon, that you're opposed to that.
I am.
May I make a motion that we excuse her and that it be subject to a vote?
Yes.
Second.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, who wants to, I have this list. I can do take the vote if you trust me.
I'd trust like you. To speak for okay. Allowing an excused absence for Debbie.
What's that, Rhonda?
I'd like to speak with regards to supporting
okay, go ahead.
That we excuse Debbie. I've been attending most of all of the committee meetings and stuff like that, and she just seems like such a wonderful volunteer and someone that really wants to be a, sorry, Sandy. I want to turn your camera off, Sandy.
Pardon?
So anyway,
Rhonda,
so I would like to say, yeah, you know, I think that she tries to show up for every meeting and do everything that she possibly can. Michael Woodson cannot be here tonight as well because he has a show from 7 to 8 p.m. So I'd like to offer that we afford them both excused absences. Thank you.
Do we have a second on Mr.
Second.
Woodson?
Second.
Okay.
Second.
Okay. Yes, I see that, Adriana, and I was going to get a second first. Okay, please speak.
I want to add Bob Gardner because he is really in a difficult situation going in and out of the hospital. I want to ask for an excuse for him. Thank you.
Second.
Okay. I object because he did not ask for an excused absence. Now, the other people did.
If he's in the hospital.
Yes, it's difficult from the hospital. Some people understand that.
It's difficult from Bob, no matter where he is.
Oh, okay, I withdraw.
Okay, so we have a motion to give excused absences to Debbie Smith, Michael Woodson, Bob Gardner. And we will, I object, but if the rest of y'all are for it, then we won't go through the rigmarole of doing them. Ron?
Yeah, my question is for, does Michael think that he's ever going to be able to make a meeting? I mean, if we're always having these at 7 on this evening.
Well, we may not always have them on at this time period. Okay. When I set this up, I didn't realize he had, but I, you know, we can't accommodate everybody for everything with such a large group. But I talked to him today. He may, you know, call in at some point if he has a space in his show or if we run past 8 o'clock. And the way this thing operates, if you just call in and get in your, you know, 15 seconds, you're practically on. So, but as I said, I object, but if everybody else is for it, then we will give them excused absences.
So are there any other objections?
I hear no other objections, so I lose again. Okay, now
you're a winner. You're a winner. I believe in you.
Okay, so now we will. I'll read the agenda. Is to elect a chair pro tem and a secretary pro tem. I gave 5 minutes to that. Take nominations for permanent chair and secretary and authorize a OPA vote. 3 minutes for that. Review the fiscal year 2024 KPFT income statement actuals. 10 minutes, review the fiscal year 2025 budget and look at what possible updates do to that budget, 10 minutes, look at future financial projections, 2026 draft budget, 20 minutes. Then, I believe the executive director may join us for remarks and we'll set time for the next finance meeting or the leave time to be determined. And I say to be determined because it, you know, the next important thing we would do may be looking at a budget for 26 or it may be reviewing the first quarter financials. And I don't know when either one of those things are going to be. So we, then we'll adjourn after that. Can I get a motion to accept the agenda?
So moved.
Mr. Chair, Michael is here. Michael Woodson is here.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I'll move to accept the agenda.
Are seconds needed in committee?
Okay. Second.
I didn't think they were needed. Okay. No. Is there anybody who objects to approving this agenda?
Right. Yeah. Or just being open to that new experience, you know.
Who's being open to the new experience? Ooh. Michael, thank you for joining. Can you say hello so we have you on record?
Got to unmute, Michael.
Well, he might be muted if he's on a show.
He's okay. Pitching.
Okay. All right, so... we are now at time to elect chair pro tem and secretary pro tem. We'll start with the chair. Are there any nominations for the chair pro tem?
I nominate
Lyndon.
Thank you. I'll accept. Any other nominations? Okay. Is there any nominations for secretary pro tem?
I'd like to nominate Rob Lee for the chair of this committee.
I'm not sure I accept. I'm not sure I have the background to do it at this time. I think I should sit for a year.
Okay. Thank you.
But thank you.
The question was, is there a nomination for secretary pro tem?
Would you like to be Rhonda. The secretary?
Okay. I nominate Rhonda.
Okay.
There you go. Second.
Rhonda, you have been nominated to be secretary pro tem. Do you take that?
Actually, I don't.
Okay.
No.
Well, we don't actually, yeah. What?
Mr. Chair? Mr.
Yes,
Chair?
Yes, Susan. Yes,
I'll volunteer to be pro tem for tonight.
Okay. By definition, that is for tonight, right?
Well, yeah, pro tem.
Okay, yeah, all right.
Until
right. Temporarily, we don't need- right. Okay.
Okay.
So I will, unless, okay, I don't know. There are no other nominations for those positions. So by lack of other nominations, I will take the pro tem chair. Susan will be the pro tem secretary. Now we'll take nominations for permanent chair and secretary. And this will be done by an OPA vote. The floor is open.
I nominate you, my friend.
Second.
I didn't even, I might have been nominating dog catcher, but in fact, I am nominating Lyndon for chair.
Thank Second.
Now that we've cleared that out.
Okay. Are there any nominations or do we have any takers for the job of secretary?
I nominate Sean McPherson.
Sean, the good thing is there only may be two or three meetings of this committee. So,
I will, if elected, I will do my utmost.
Okay. So if we don't have any other nominees, then we won't have to go to the OPA vote.
Sir, we need to do it anyway.
Because...
Susan, can you explain it? Susan, thank you.
Yeah, let me just say, I think Adriana is correct. It's good that we go through that process so it is official. There will not be... The ballot is closed at the end of this meeting, but I will follow up.
Yeah. Right.
I will follow up with everybody being able to vote. and so we have that on the record. Thank you. Yes, Adriana.
Okay. So the next order of business is to review the 2024 income statement, the actuals. And I'm going to try to put that up on the screen.
Question, are we at the LSB level? No, are we at the national level?
No, we're at LSB. Is this on the screen? Is my spreadsheet on the screen?
Will it be national?
Okay, wait, would you please let me get an answer?
No.
Okay, no, I have to hit share screen, I guess, and then...
Correct.
Find which one. Permanent budget. Is it on there now?
Oh, and Mr. Chair,
no.
My apologies, but I don't know that we recognized. I want to make sure that we did that. Stephanie Wells has joined us.
Okay, thank you. All right.
Should be able to do share and then pick the thing you're sharing and then actually hit share.
Okay. Well, I hit share and then if I hit my spreadsheet, then it's crowding out my ability to see share again. And I saw her at the awards the other day. Damn. Oh, okay. Anybody have any other suggestions?
Well, is this
you
the one
you could email said? It?
I did.
You did.
Y'all all should have a copy of it.
Yeah, I'm looking at your email, Lyndon.
Right.
So I'm opening up the spreadsheet from your email.
Yeah, so we could invite people to do that.
So there's something.
There yeah. Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
This is, you're this sharing is, but this is not the one I want.
Oh.
It's a problem.
Can you drag the one you want over to the screen?
I don't think it works like that, Ron. You've got to select, you got to have it on your desktop open. You hit share and then select screen.
Well, I've done all that, I think.
I usually use WebEx, so. But...
Okay, if y'all have it open, this is really a shame because I went through quite a bit of trouble to try and do that. Okay. Y'all have it now?
There you go.
Yes.
This is copy of
P&O
income statement. Yeah.
Okay. So, to answer your question, Rob, this is the whole consolidated.
Okay. Thank you.
But okay. But right now we're looking at the KPFT numbers.
Got it.
And so we'll start with we'll start by looking at AE35, that cell AE35, which tells us that in the 12 months ending September of 2024, we had positive income, $112,350.
Right.
And you go up to line 14, you can see our total revenues of $717. And also in column AF, I put the difference between the 2024 and it's 2024 minus 2023. And the 2023 numbers are over there in column R. So let's see. So several things I want to point out here. And okay. One of them is where my cursor is for in column AE, line 50. This is our consultant temps and contractuals, about 113,000. Now, this is something Sandy did. You can see, beginning back in October, we were just at $6,200, November $6,000. But he ramped it up either on hours, worked or dollars per hour. Sandy, it was, I think, and you'll see in the 2025 budget, you'll see we are budgeted at 84,000. So, but I wanted to point this out. This is a very good, you know, a very good development, I think. Sandy, did you want to say anything about that?
Sure. Thank you. Currently, we have, I'm just looking on my screen now and another spreadsheet. Give me a second here. Sorry. We're running at the rate of about $2,900 a week. So I don't have a calculator out, but you can multiply by 52. And that's our current rate. So it's a little bit more maybe than what's indicated there.
Okay. There, yeah.
There's
150,000.
Close enough. Okay. So that's what we're currently running.
Right.
And this includes morning and evening board op, early morning board op, some Robin's money, Marlo, myself. There's about 12 people being paid. Nobody is getting I think more than 25 hours a week. So this is gas money at $15 an hour.
Okay. And that's what I wanted to address, what the hourly pay was, and it was an increase in hours, basically.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure. So, but remember that, because we'll see in the, we'll see budgeted numbers later on that are at, $84,000 for the year. Correct. And you can also see the increase between 2023 and 2024 of, $74,000.
If I might, Lyndon, if you'll indulge me, as we look at 2023, that began in October 2022. Nobody was being paid at that point. We didn't start paying people until, about March of the following year. So in that period between July 1st, 2022 and March 2023, we were able to build cash. And that was the whole point, because when I took the job, we had none. We were down to just restricted funds.
Right.
Okay. So we're continuing to flesh out these programs and make sure that we're covered from early, early morning with Egberto until evening hours. We want people in the building doing programming live. And so we need board ops and someone to watch the building, et cetera.
Right? Okay. So the next thing I want to point out is essential services here. You'll see highlighted in yellow on line 27 in cells in columns AC and AD that there are $0 for the PRA. And that's because the PRA got rolled up into the national office. And so when
Excuse me, could you define PRA?
Pacifica Archives.
Pacifica Radio
Archives. It's the archives.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Go on.
So that will disappear, although it does show up in the 2025 budget, but we will need to adjust that out as we look at that budget. And also on line 26, the national office, central services are much less. Well, they're $7,300, going forward. Okay. Let's see. In my notes, I had something about bank charges. Okay, here that is. Our bank charges went down $5,700 between 2023 and 2024. I don't have a real good handle on what our bank charges are, but I had looked at the bank charges when I was treasurer previously, and they were like this, you see in November and December, $1,300, $1,200, and it was just ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Now that we've combined all our banking into one unit, or, you know, although we all have our own bank accounts, I don't want to, you know, mislead anybody on that, but our charges should be less. And then I have one other issue here. I wanted to look at. Oh, well, I'm looking for it, but you're not going to find it here, which is the point. You won't see depreciation expense on this schedule. Now, we, in our budget for the other two things that we're going to look at, it shows depreciation expense. And, you know, normal companies do show their depreciation expense, but when you go to do like cash flow or something, they take that out because it's a non-cash expense, which means that, you know, if we had $2,000 a month in, you know, going across the 12 months, we're not writing a check to anybody for depreciation, okay? It's like you buy a $60,000 truck for your business. It has a five-year life. is the depreciation schedule. So you would depreciate that over the 5 years, $12,000 a year and $1,000 a month. And you would show that as an expense, but you're not actually paying that cash because you paid all that cash the day you bought the truck. And if you didn't pay it all when you bought it, it would be a lease, and you would be a lease expense. So I just wanted to show that because it's going to come up later on. And none of the units have a depreciation expense. I can go down here to consolidated, to the consolidated numbers, and there is no depreciation expense. Something else I'd like to point out here on the consolidated. Under the salaries and related expenses, the salaries consolidated $3.9 million, and the health benefits down here on line 55 are $956,000. I think that comes out to like 24.5%. So I want you to keep that in mind as we go through tonight. So any questions?
Lyndon?
Yes.
I'm seeing a line for pension, and I'm not seeing anything reflected there. Has the pension been frozen? What is the status?
Under KPFT?
Well, I didn't think we had one. This is KPFT. I apologize.
Well, no, I did. I wasn't consolidated until just a second ago. So you may have been looking at consolidated. I am not able to, answer that question for Pacifica Foundation. Don't know.
Okay. Maybe Stephanie could address that later. I'll remember to ask it. Thank you.
Okay. Yes, Susan.
Just a couple of things. One is, I think that the National Finance Committee, which both Lyndon and I serve, will be looking at the question of benefits sort of across the board, who's paying what where, and does it make sense? Another thing I'd just like to say is I think we owe the team at KPFT a shout out for these results. That is, you know, Sandy, Marlo, Howard, Robin, all of the programmers, wonderful Elise. I know that Susan Phillips is on with us and Rico is on with us. So this is extraordinary, and we owe everybody a great debt of thanks.
Hear, hear.
Agreed.
Yes, Adriana?
Yeah, I have a question, Lyndon. The first one, this that you are showing is not what you sent us, right?
I believe it is.
The entire thing with the... Okay. What? I'm sorry. And the second one is, don't we have, because we are talking about, you say about, you have the P&L till the end of last year, September 2024. Do we have the numbers, any of the numbers for this year? I mean, October,
no.
November,
no.
December, January?
No.
Okay. Okay, do you know when we will have it? Because,
no.
You know. Okay.
No. I am at the mercy of when it comes in. Something I'll point out here. Let's see. So this, first 9 months of the year, we were at 11,000 of net income, let's call it that. And then we wound up the year at 112. So we kind of, we just broke even basically the last 3 months of the fiscal year 2024. So I'm going to try to pull up my next spreadsheet, which is the 2025 budget. Is that up for y'all?
Yeah.
Yes?
No, it hasn't changed.
I think it's the same one. Has this changed?
Oh, okay. Okay. Not good. Damn, this is perplexing.
Stop share and then reshare, Lyndon. Stop yeah. share.
Okay.
And then reshare the one you want.
Stop there share.
Now reshare.
I'm sorry. Can we ask, somebody saying that it's not in the stream? Are you sure that we are on the stream or not? Do we know that?
We asked to be put on the stream. That's all I know.
I'll check with Otis.
Perfect, sir. I'm just asking. I didn't say that didn't happen. I said, I'm asking. Thank you for your intervention, Elvis.
Okay. Thank you. Now, okay, here is the budget for 2025, starting in October 2024, running through September of 2025. And we did this a long time ago. I can't remember, you know, March, April, May or something. And probably got it approved by the PNB in August, you know, maybe July. We were hoping for July. Anyway, so I put in the 24 actuals out there.
Excuse me, can this be enlarged?
Good Lord, I'm just happy I got it up on the screen.
I apologize.
Was this in the email, Lyndon?
Yes.
Yeah, I can look in my email.
Yeah, I will pull it up. If it was in your email, I can pull that up.
Yes. How small is it?
It's pretty small.
Illegible.
Very small.
Well.
At least for my eyes. Okay.
I just don't know.
Is that the copy of the P&O income statement? What am I looking at?
No, you're looking for the
you should
budget
be able to zoom in on your own phone too, or on your own screen.
The budget.
This would.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah, you can zoom in.
Perfect. Are you talking?
Perfect.
That's better.
Okay, I enlarged mine to a 10-point. But that's all I did. And I could probably make it 12 point or something.
So this was created around March, April 24, excuse me. Thank you. Yes.
Okay. Now I'm going to get in trouble. My columns are going to be not too big enough, you know?
It's all right. You can see it.
Okay. The really important columns are out here anyway. So as I was saying, I put in the 2024 actuals and then did a actuals less budget number so we could, you know, so y'all wouldn't have to do the math or be guessing and we might be able to learn more. So listen, and I will say, you know, when doing budgets, after I say this, then I'll give Sandy a chance to address this, but there's a couple things that can happen when you're doing budgets. One is you can sandbag. I mean, you know, if you've been in a business before, you know, you want to be able to beat your budget, right? But the other thing is, I believe we were limited in how much, it was some rule, I'm not sure if it's in the bylaw, it's probably not in the bylaws, maybe something was passed in a meeting, you know, 10 years ago or 5 years ago that said you can only increase your listener support in your budget by like 10% over your previous budget or something right. like that. So I think that's what the reason that this budget is as low as it is in revenue. Sandy, am I correct?
That's what we're operating under. That is correct. And okay. in this environment, funding environment, that becomes amplified.
Well, and the fact that it was probably meant
you call it sandbagging. I'm not sure that's the right word.
Lynn. Well, I didn't say that it was that your case.
That's a bowling term. This is being conservative, right?
Okay. And this was probably put into place, this idea of just a 10% increase because, you know, some people would do bogus budgets, you know. Okay, you know, my expenses are 3 million, so I'm going to make sure my revenue is 3.1 or whatever. And that's probably what this was meant to avoid. So anyway, bottom line, we had budgeted for, you know, revenues of 579. Now here on line 37, you can see we have the PRA, Pacifica Radio Archives. Oh, before we do that, you can look at the net income here of $11,180. So I'm going to take out these because we don't pay that anymore. Then I'm going to increase this to about 12. This is the consultants. And then remember what I told you about depreciation? I'm going to zero this out because it should never be there in the first place. So with those moves, that would give us a negative. We were at a positive 11,000. Now we're at a negative 5,000. But I think we can see that our income, our revenue is understated. Now, how much, I can't say. Sandy probably has a better, definitely has a better grasp of that. But it's, you know, is it going to be more like 717? And then I'm sure, you know, there's some things in the expense that can go, you know, up or down. Let's see if there's any big ones here we want to look at. Like bank charges, you know, those are probably too high. And hopefully they're too high. Hopefully our bank charges will come in for less than $500 a month, but I can't swear to that. I don't think office expenses or anything like that's going to change, you know, too much. The depreciation we zeroed out. Other programming, you can see that our actuals were 20,000 more than what we had for the budget, for the 25 budget. The rent expense for the tower was pretty close. So overall, we were actuals of 24 less that budget number for the program expenses, $17,000 difference. And you can see these, this is something I would like to get a handle on sometime in the future, is the categories we have for all this postal stuff. You see in our actuals, we just have it, you know, well, it's credit card discounts, but we have direct mail, you know, caging costs, postage, subscription, mailing services, but, you know, all that over in our budget. But when it comes to our actuals, it's in a, just in one basket. Okay, so that is my presentation of a look at the updated 2025 budget. So next on the agenda is a look at the revenue for the future financial projections. We have a 2026 draft budget. Yes, Sandy.
I was going to tell you to leave that up and show the bank balance chart that you created.
Okay.
And I think that's a good idea for people to see that.
Okay.
This is really the truest reflection of operations that I can think of.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know.
There you go. Thank you.
I don't see it. Oh, okay. Now I see it. There you go. Do y'all see it?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So every month you get a report to the LSB, and then there is a bank balance. That bank balance is given to me by Markeisha the Monday before the meeting. So it's consistent. It's the last bit of information I put into a report before I send it out Monday night. And you can see that it's relatively stable, the bank balance. It's within a window. I think our high was 229 and the low is like 160 something, maybe a little bit less, but it's really pretty consistent month over month. So what's going in is going out to pay the bills at this point. So this is a really valuable piece of information, at least to me, to measure the operation of KPFT. We've got one bank account. There's no other. And all the money that comes in through fund drive and events goes into that account. And this is the bank balance month over month. And let's see, you started where? July, what is it, 23?
Yeah.
Okay, and it runs till February of this year.
Right.
So the last one was from the last report. And this is going to go up and down depending on expenses. For instance, paying taxes has an effect in December. ASCAP, BMI, streaming in January, and then quarterly for ASCAP, BMI, all of that is a reflection of expenses that might jump up and down, but the net cash is depicted here pretty clearly. And this is really important for folks to understand what we're taking in right now. And you said that was 717, Lyndon?
Yes, that was 2024. Yeah.
Okay. It's being spent on the operation. I think that might be have gone down. We got some exceptional money, the first year or two. So. We're doing good. We're still doing good. I don't want to give you the idea we're not. We are.
Would that chart be available, let's say, going back to 2020?
I wasn't here, so I don't have those numbers. Maybe Markeisha could extend that with the information.
I don't want to make work. Would you be able to comment on it?
I will tell you this. I will tell you this, Rob. And again, another key piece of information, July 1st, 2022, when I stepped into this role, we had a bank balance of a little less than $40,000, and most of that was restricted funds, or pretty much all of it was restricted funds. to be spent on a specific purpose, most of which is supporting our Huntsville Tower and comes from the Brown Foundation and others to support that. And we're still using that every month. If you look at the report I give you, you see a tower rental and also the T-Mobile box we're using to get our signal to Huntsville. So that was all that was in the bank. So we had zero money. Now, the last report was, forgive me if I'm off a little bit, $184,000. And I think the restricted funds are now around $25,000. It's been bled down. So unrestricted cash has increased the $1,000 or so in the 2.5 years. Most of it in the first 8 months when we weren't paying anybody. And since then, it's been relatively stable. That makes sense?
Okay, Adriana?
It's a beautiful chart. I just was curious about a longer-term one, but I'll worry about that later. Don't request anything.
Adriana?
Go ahead. Lots of hands.
Adriana?
Okay. Hi, Sandy. What I saw is you said that is the bank balance. I saw from 2024 something that worries me, because we saw the revenue, obviously, and the expenses, but the net income was almost zero. We are talking about 2024. Do we have that now? Do we know, because we have the revenue? That is a chart that normally give me an idea how we are, because my idea is that we are, I don't know if I'm right, but the idea is that we are just, a few thousand dollars from not being able to pay. It's still the same between revenue, expenses, the net income. What do you think that is the net income now?
Well, if you look again at that chart on, this is all the money going in and all the money going out, which is all the money. There's no other bank account. Okay. So the net income is probably very neutral at this point, probably pretty close to that $11,000 surplus predicted.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I can't give you an exact number, but this chart to me kind of says it all right here. It goes up and down, it oscillates in a range, and it's stable. Okay, so that tells me our net's pretty stable or close to zero.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I have the idea for what I see. We don't have an amount of money that we can say, okay, we have this extra. The idea that I'm having that we are almost neutral for what I can see. That is with the information that we have. Obviously, we don't have the numbers, that we should, but that's okay. That is what I see. I was thinking maybe I see something wrong, but I see that it's almost neutral now.
Right. And remember, our budget is around, is much smaller than our other four stations. And we've got one full-time employee in Howard. And again, the FTE on a $15 an hour basis of about 4.5 people or so, right? So that's where we're standing today. And this fund drive and every fund drive is critical to keep that going.
Okay, Ron?
Yeah, thanks. So I'm looking at the 2025 projection, and the revenue for that ends up at what, 578 or 579,000 versus the 717 2024 actual. So you were talking about you can't increase the projected revenues more than 10% or something like that, but 10% over what? Over last year's actuals or
probably the last year's budget, because when we do the budget, we don't know what the actuals are going to be. If we had known our actuals were going to be 717, then we could have gone to, 790 at 10%. So So yeah, it's, so the revenue here is way off, I think. It's low.
It's also very difficult to predict.
Yeah, predicting the future is hard.
And partly to answer Adriana's question is like, if you plot that, I don't know, it's line 26 on the one that you sent out earlier in the day, where the 717 is for the actuals, you know, that number jumps from 33 to 85 to 84 to 38 to, you know, 22. Yeah. So, I mean, it's all over the place. I'd have to look at the actuals for 2024, but,
well, here, can you see this? Can you see this graph?
Yes.
Okay. This is a 3-month moving average. And here is the data that it comes from.
Right. Okay.
So I had the data going back to October of 22. I was asked for 2021 because I wasn't on the LSB at the time, but nobody gave it to me. Also on the, over here on the bank balance in column D, you can see the red ones, October and January. I had to just take an average of the previous in the next month to, you know, if they could jump around, but it doesn't hurt. It doesn't really hurt much. You know, they may have jumped around a little bit more.
Can you show that graph again that you showed before?
Well, yes, I can. This one? Or the bank balance chart?
That one. Perfect.
And this is in the material I sent you.
Yeah. And so the delta between the blue and the red lines is essentially what drops into our bank account.
Correct.
And that's where Sandy's saying, I mean, you can see
the net
the difference
zero.
Between the two of those is, yeah, not yeah. too much.
The
well,
net income
all this, area, all this area, all this area is income and all this area is income. If you just want to look, but here's the income right here.
Yep.
But you see at the end of September 2024, looks like the net income is zero.
Well, some months are going to be like that.
Right. Remember,
and this is a 3-month moving average. So, you know, it's going to include, a month that had, in this case, it included 2 months that were losses, $11,000 in July, $19,000 in September, offset by $31,000 in August of 24, which I pointed out when we were looking at
the fund drive.
I pointed this out when we were looking at the 2024 numbers that we had made $111,000 in the first 9 months, but the last 3 months of 2024 fiscal year, we basically broke even.
Well, it reflects the seasonality of fundraising. Kind of juxtaposed against the sustainers.
Exactly, Rob. So some months we're raising funds and you see a surge in the bank account. Other months we're not. Now, what's happened in the last 2.5 years, the sustainer program has smoothed out cash flow greatly. We're now receiving around $24,000 a month in sustaining pledges. So given our budget, that's not quite half, but it sure is a big assistance. And as a result, we're in much better shape. But that's exactly right. When we're in fund drive, we get cash. And when we're not, we don't get that extra cash, but the expenses remain. So it's going to go up and down month over month.
As it always has.
As it always has. And now the changes or the swings are far less drastic because of the sustainer money coming in.
Right.
That makes sense to everybody.
Yeah. And in this data sheet that I put together, you can see Sandy was talking about how the expenses go up some months. So here in cell G6, we had 17,000 of property tax and then 22,000 of other administrative expense. I don't know what that was. And then down here, we was, you know, December 23, again, $17,000 of property tax. So any more questions on this section?
Will there be a time where Sandy kind of gives us some thoughts about projections for 25?
Well, he supplied a FY 2026 draft budget.
Okay, so if I might, Lyndon.
25? Go ahead.
26.
Yeah.
That was 20, but go ahead.
Hold on. That should not be taken as a budget for the next year. That was only meant to show the addition of salary for GM, PD, okay? And it's based on what we're doing now. There have been no other adjustments. There will be other adjustments. Our costs are rising, on top of which we're threatened with antenna repairs and things at the transmitter that are ungodly in terms of cost.
Well, so, why did you send it out to us?
Only to reflect the GM salary. I didn't create that. Markeisha created that. So I just wanted everybody to see what that loading did to our current situation. Okay.
Okay. Well,
in no way does that reflect anything I would submit for consideration for next year.
But you submitted it to us, to everybody,
yeah,
to show that we couldn't afford a full-time GM.
That was a question that was posed in the last LSB, so I would be supportive of that information.
Yeah, that's all it was meant for, Lyndon.
Right.
I apologize if it's confusing to anybody. I don't think that we'll be ready to sit down and review a budget like last year until April-ish.
You know? Right, right. Mm-hmm. But it serves a purpose. So this is what we got. Oh, this isn't what we got because I've made adjustments to it. Number one, I took out the depreciation that was in here. Let's see.
Linda, when you get a minute, I'm kind of on the road, but I'd like to ask a question too.
Go ahead.
Well, I was talking about the up and down chart, right? It kind of shows basically we're holding our own. And it also shows that wisely we have some money in reserves, but basically we're not seeing any sort of growth in revenue for the last couple of quarters, right? Like it's not a check mark where the revenues are going up, but basically we're just holding our own.
Correct. We, in the last 3 months of 2024, we were at zero income, and I don't know what the numbers are for the last 4 months. But they don't look like they've added, to our bank balance much, if any. So, thank yes. You. Okay. So.
Susan has a question.
Okay, Susan.
Yeah. Rob and others have brought up the fact that the request for this meeting really followed on a conversation about GM search. And it corresponds to the fact that we got the end of year financials, so it's very timely to be able to go through this. But also we have the GM search question system wide, and there are challenges at basically all of the stations. KPFK just went from a volunteer GM to a paid GM on an interim basis. There's a changeover in management at WBAI. There was a change in management at WPFW. I asked Stephanie to talk to us about how system-wide the question of interim GMs is being addressed. And I wondered if we might ask her to talk to us about that.
Sure. As Susan was saying, I mean, we have interim general managers at all of our stations right now, and it is not business-wise and just legally, we shouldn't be having someone in an interim position where we're not actively searching or posting a job for that position. Job posting needs to be within 6 months that the person is placed in an interim position. And we've had interim general managers now, some of them for well over 2 years. So company-wide, what we need to do and what we're going to be doing is posting the job description for all general manager positions at all five stations. And then we are going to give people, you know, across the network, if they are holding that position already, they can apply for that position. And the job description is a generic general manager job description that has a standard. We post the position for general manager between $60,000 to $80,000 a year. There will be questions that if, you know, when resumes come in or if there's a, you know, once we get a resume, then there'll be certain questions that will be asked that will be specific to that town or that station. So we can, you know, kind of pinpoint it to the station's needs. But one of the things that we're doing, as I said, we're going to keep it the, you know, it's the same general manager position because the general manager works for the Pacifica Foundation, not for the station. They just happen to be placed at that station. All the resumes and letters of interest are going to be sent to the same email address, which is hr@pacifica.org, and then the physical address of the national office. And we're still going to be working with the LSBs, you know, strongly encouraging them to reach out to their communities and colleagues, people within the station already, and again, people that hold those positions as IGMs to submit their interest in having the position. We're going to post the job at pacifica.org and other websites that are free. We've had some other job listings before that we've posted, and they do become very costly. So that's kind of up to the LSBs to kind of have that determination whether they want to help fund the cost of job postings. Jobs are usually posted for a maximum of 90 days, and then they have to be reposted. Some of them are even as low as 30 days, and then they have to be reposted. They can range anywhere. If it's not a free site, they can range anywhere from $300 to $500 a posting. Once we get resumes in, I'll be assembling the lists for each of those stations, but redacting a lot of the personal information, such as most likely people's names, so there isn't any sort of unconscious bias with gender or ethnicity. And then we're going to provide that list of the various credentials to the LSB so they can review. I have had conversations already with the interim general managers, with the majority of them letting know that we are initiating this process. And again, encouraging everybody that does hold that position as an IGM to put in their qualifications if they want to seek the position on a permanent basis. We are going to talk to the PNB secretary to make sure that they communicate with all of the LSB chairs and the LSB secretaries, also to alert them that this process has started so people aren't taken by surprise if they see a job posting on their station's website. So that's where we are, and we're going to be doing it across the board. And as with any of the stations, I love the fact that you're looking at this budget now. Often, from what I've experienced so far in Pacifica, budgets are made and then they're not reviewed again until it's time to make a new budget. Excuse me. So I appreciate the fact that people are looking at this now and really making, informed decisions as to what can and cannot be afforded as we move forward.
Hey, Jonna.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Stephanie. You know, I don't want to go through what I consider is violation of our bylaws with some of the thing that the PMB decided and they are doing. But my problem is basically our fiduciary responsibility, the LSB, we are elected by the people. We are not being paid. We are elected by the members and we are supposed to represent the members and really take care of the money that the members entrust on us. That is our basic fiduciary responsibility. That's why we have in our LSB, we arrived to a conclusion, the MSRC, we decided to have a meeting February 24th. The whole committee decided and the pro tem chair decided not to put it there, but that is something that cannot be done. Because the committee made that decision, because we want to know what's going on. We want to be sure that we are not doing something that we cannot, because this foundation is full of good intentions and actions from other people, and then the result is bad. We want to see the numbers. We want to see if we are able or not to make this payment. We want to be sure, because once that you hire somebody, I think that we should rely, a lot of us believe that volunteers is one of the only options that we have for now, because you see the situation of the foundation. But I agree with you. We should try to make this fund a way, but we need to be sure that the numbers are there. Our LSP need to be sure that we are not bringing, like other stations, we don't want to bring the foundation to bankruptcy. We don't want to bring, to go in a situation that we own, because once that you hire somebody, you make a contract and you need to pay them. We want to be sure that we review all of that before giving the green light to anything else. And that's why I believe that the MSRC and this committee need to keep working, trying to see what we can come up with before all these wonderful ideas of hiring people, because I don't see the numbers.
Hey,
I don't thank you.
Jonna, thank you. I'm going to, after we take all these questions, I'm going to go through these numbers. Okay. I don't know who had their hand up first.
I think Lillian was actually up.
Okay.
Hi. I kind of want to reiterate the same thing that Adriana was saying. We're operating, it seems, on a very slim budget, and I appreciate what National's trying to do, and thank you for those comments, Stephanie, but I don't feel like we're on very firm financial footing at all. That's my comment.
Here, here.
Okay, Ron?
So first, thanks, Stephanie, for going through that process. I think that an organization like this, having the better the processes are, the better the chance of a good outcome. So I appreciate that. I will reflect also that the discussions that we had in LSB and MSRC subcommittee were reflective of concern over budget capabilities. And I guess maybe you could comment on your thoughts about that and understanding that, this is a KPFT budget. And I know things hit the KPFT side, but really Pacifica is the organization, and how you're thinking about these positions in terms of the overall Pacifica organization. That's it. Thanks.
Rhonda, are you?
Are you going to let Stephanie respond?
Yes, please.
Well, all of the stations do need to take a close look at their budgets. It was all of the other stations have paid staff, have paid general managers, and have paid program directors. They're all union houses. About 50 to 60% of our staff are union. So as, in order for us to make significant changes, say where all of a sudden we have volunteer staff everywhere, that would mean the removal of close to 80 employees and a little over, well, close to about 110 actually, but that involve also union employees, and that would be laying people off. So it would be a whole complete, you know, a change that would be very difficult to implement. But each of the stations, even though we're all part of the Pacifica Foundation, each station is responsible for managing their finances with the help of Markeisha and myself, and reviewing with them what bills need to be paid, prioritizing with them what bills can be paid. And it's always the, you know, salaries and benefits, health benefits and salaries that get paid first, and then, you know, rent, tower rent, those kind of things. So by moving through this exercise of looking at the budget, reflecting what's been in the past, projecting out what, you know, is going to go forward in the future, that's how you determine whether people can be paid or not at the station, which is, you know, changing the business model of how KPFT has been working for the last 2 years. So it's, you know, it's a great exercise, obviously, of going through this budget and having these conversations.
And before we go on to other people's questions, I would like to stress that I'm going to go through the spreadsheet that we have now, and it's not dire as was presented, in my opinion. And so I want y'all to keep your minds open for more information. Rhonda?
Yes. I have a question. So I want to be clear that KPFT currently has one full-time employee, and that they are also receiving health benefits. Is that correct?
He is not receiving health benefits.
Howard is on, doesn't require that.
Okay. And then there are 4.5 part-time people working approximately 25 hours a week. Is that right?
It's a scattered, there's no one hour number I can give you. Different people get different hours depending on what they're doing.
Rhonda, I believe it was, I believe it was more people than that, but they would equal 4.5 or 4 full-time
objection.
Employees.
Objection.
We don't need
objection. Objection. I have an objection.
Okay.
Isn't this information, private information that it's not supposed to be on a live stream? Doesn't it, if it pertains to specific information about employees, should we be live streaming this information?
This is general.
Doesn't sound general. I heard
names.
Specific names. I heard
okay.
Specific
I,
names.
I take your point to be okay. Well taken. We will not
agreed.
We will not delve into that.
All right, but I don't think it's unreasonable, and I don't want to know the names or the positions or anything like that. But we have 40 hours going to a full-time person, and then we have how many part-time hours going out? Is it more like 80 or, and I understand that it's piecemealed out, but you had said that you had approximately 4.5 part-time people working 20 or 25 hours a week.
Again, so, objection, yeah. Objection. This is information that's private information for the employees of the station. It is not supposed to be put out on a live stream.
Number of part-time employees is appropriate.
Right. Thank you.
Wait a minute, sir. What authority do you have to be making judgments
like that?
It is
a general statement, the number.
Okay,
of
well, you don't know. Employees. You don't know for a fact. I want to hear that from either from the PNB chair or the general manager. You do not know what you're talking about.
Okay.
Yes, they do.
Mr. Chair, could you please ask Ms. Martinez to be a little nicer or less rude?
Rhonda,
no,
keep your
no,
mouth
I will
out
not.
Of my
Rhonda, okay, let's drop that.
Ball.
Let's drop that.
And raise the hand.
Sandy, I think you were next.
So I'm going to be ignored?
Sandy, would you please text or email Ms. Gardner to answer to her question when this is over with, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
There's no dire situation at KPFT. We're cat stable.
I would like to share why I'm asking those questions. The reason why I'm asking
Sandy has the floor. Please.
I didn't get to finish.
Sandy has the floor, please.
Okay.
I'll yield to Rhonda. Go ahead, Rhonda.
Okay. I just want to make sure that if we have these part-time employees, if they work a certain amount of hours, then they're eligible for benefits. And so at that number used to be 18 hours. Someone could only work 18 hours per week. If they worked over 18 hours a week, then they qualified for benefits. So I don't want anyone. So I'm just looking out for the fiduciary responsibility and whether we're minding that rule and if that is still the rule, and maybe Stephanie could speak to that.
Can we take that offline?
Excuse me. Let me make a distinction. These are contractors, not employees, not Pacific employees. That's the demarcation, Rhonda. Okay. We're all contractors, but for one. Okay.
I was a contractor. Well, okay. Never mind, Sandy. Go ahead.
Okay. So that's just the
send me that email. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Sandy, you have the floor.
Yeah, what I was going to say is there's no dire situation at KPFT. We're holding our own. We're stable where we are. And we fleshed out the operation to where we can have live broadcast pretty much from, when Egberto starts at 6 in the morning because people are showing up at 5:30 in the morning. And we've got people extending all the way into the evening, 9, 10 o'clock. And that's being covered by what we're bringing in now. That said, one bad fund drive and we've got cash in the bank to absorb it once, maybe twice, but that's what that pad is meant to be. Those are operational funds in reserve just in case. We want to continue to pay our bills and be good stewards in doing so and show those people that are donating we're worthy of donation. After all, we're like every other 501c3 hunting public money and we need goodwill for that. And that's something to be said, even when we go to apply in the future for grants, which have been incredibly problematic because of the way our audits read. So this is a way of building to the future, looking for grant money, if and when that becomes available.
Thank you. Susan?
Yeah, I think one of the questions that we'll posed to Stephanie over time.
Pardon me. Somebody has a radio or TV going on in the background.
Vaughn? There you go.
Thank you.
One of the questions that I would like to pose to Stephanie, probably not tonight, but it's a question to ask over time, is what are the options for a station that has limited resources, but we're supposed to have a permanent GM, and we're not supposed to have people working for free. KPFK was in a similar situation. Their GM worked for more than 2 years on a volunteer basis. I mean, both he and Sandy gave enormous service to Pacifica and to their stations. KPFK has moved to a paid GM, and I believe that they will be posting for a permanent GM. So I think we need to understand how they're making that transition. And I think we're between a little bit of rock and a hard place if we have to go to a permanent, and if there is if we cannot have, an unpaid GM, what are our choices and how do we build that opportunity? The posting will let us know who all is out there who wants to serve. The ED, the LSB, will go through what does the budget implications mean? And the ED will go through the negotiations with somebody that the LSB includes in a pool, and the ED would choose as the preferred candidate, as I understand it.
Michael.
Thank you. I guess I have my mic off. I hope I didn't leave too much clutter. I don't know. Here's, I guess I have a question for Stephanie. First of all, you know, we finally are starting to tread water, right? And looking good. And this is a classic case of if it's fixed, break it, you know? And I've been around Pacifica for 25 years and, you know, I just know what this looks like. And my experience is that, a GM is not like the magic wand, but it will come with its own set of complexities. But this first of all, this comes down pretty fast. I've been in this now for a good 2 months and hanging around a while, and I have not heard of this need to hire GM until today. And then the word legal came in.
Michael.
I think we lost you.
Okay, before we take any more questions, I mean, John has already spoken.
All of a sudden we hear, legally the word came up. So this is Texas too, right? And does that legally apply to Texas? And I'm not talking ethics. If you want to talk ethics, maybe I'll agree with you that you shouldn't string people along. But legally, what's up with that?
It's the interim title that we can't keep. So it's the it's an FCC regulation that if you hire someone in an interim title and in a position that is interim, you must post the job description to hire a full-time person or a person that would not have that interim title within 6 months. You don't have to hire that person within 6 months, but you need to post the job within 6 months. So since we want to make sure that we are not in violation of any FCC regulations, we are posting the position for all GMs since all of them are interims.
When did this happen? When have you known
this? It's been an FCC rule for quite some time, but Pacifica has a...
When were we aware of it?
A while ago. Okay. A while ago. Pacifica has a tendency to place people in positions and give them the title of interim. I do not know that reason why. But it is not, personally, it does not make sense. Even just regular standard business practices, a person holds an interim title. If it's, you know, somebody's on a long-term leave, if it's a position that the person has left, but they have to, you know, the position still needs to move forward, but they need to hire somebody. So then you usually move somebody within the company into that interim position to hold that position until the full-time position is filled. I don't know how many, you know, I've held interim positions at other companies I've worked for just because I had the knowledge to be able to do that job until they hire the permanent person to get there. And then I go back to my regular job. So it's just a practice that Pacifica has been doing historically that has not been correct. And
right.
So,
I'm not disagreeing with the open process. I'm asking if there's a workaround on this because, you know, the FCC can't possibly want you to hire people that you can't afford to pay.
Well, that's why you're having this discussion. The interim general manager does not need to be a position that is paid. I mean, the general manager can be a volunteer. We just need to remove that interim position. This is why all of the stations need to take a close look at their budgets and make sure when they move forward that they can, what can they afford? We still need to have general managers in place. At KPFK, for example, they had a volunteer. The person that took over as the now the interim general manager, and it's only been a few months, was already a staff member. So they were already getting paid. So we just had to increase the salary slightly because it's a management position, but they also then needed to step down from their membership in the union because you can't be a union member and have a management position. So we had to work with the unions in order to say that's fine. They still maintain all of their union benefits. So when they're no longer the general manager, then they'll go back into their regular position, and their union relationship and their benefits and such will stay the same from the union. So that was a slight increase in the salary to match the management aspect of it.
And just one more thing, if you don't mind. I trust you, right? And I think you're doing a great job. And I don't mean to suggest, you know, that this is moving too fast with my question about when did we know this, but I need to know for sure that it is the responsible thing for us to do for our members in Houston and Pacifica-wide to comply with the FCC, and that there's no workaround, there's no other option, but we need to open this process now. Because our discussion with the MSRC was just moot. If we had known, we would never have had that discussion. It takes it out of our hands. If you're saying it needs to happen.
We have to post any position, and I'm not being vague here, but there are multiple people that have titles of interim in front of their jobs right now. And we need to, some of them are in violation of our union contracts, and some of them are in violation of FCC. We do not, obviously, as I said, want to be in violation of anything, union or FCC. So we are proactively saying we're going to fix this problem by posting the jobs and putting people in place without the interim title.
Mr. Chair.
No. Please. I would like to have the floor for a minute. Now, everybody else has spoken. I want to go through this graph or this spreadsheet, and perhaps that will answer questions for some people. But I prepared, you know, this was part three on the agenda. Now I am going to ask Mary Ann to speak because other than her objection to what was going on, she hasn't spoken. But then I'm going to go through this, and then we can go for a question and answer as long as Stephanie will stay. All right.
Thank you, Lyndon. I just wanted to ask Stephanie if she could provide us with that FCC regulation.
Yes.
Thank you. So this was sent out to everybody on the LSB, this schedule here, this spreadsheet, which showed a $93,000 deficit if we were to hire to hire a GM, but this spreadsheet also put hiring a PD, program director, and it has very, very healthy benefits. So I'd like to go through this and deconstruct it basically. So the revenue level is 730. You can see so this is 2026, okay? So in our 2024 number is 717. So that's not much of an increase. Now, the first thing I will do is, in the reason I showed you the depreciation twice before, is because this depreciation should not be there. Then I'm going to adjust the health benefits. Now, we have, without talking about people, you know, some companies pick up people's Medicare costs, like their Part B and the Part D, the drug deals. I don't know. I know a lot of people in the LSB and around Pacifica know what Medicare is, but anyway, some companies, you know, will just give somebody that money in salary so they can take them off of their medical bills because, you know, it's earned. These people have earned it. So the system wide, when I showed you on the consolidated numbers earlier, that the health benefits were at 24.5%. Now, here, what was sent out had roughly $120,000 of health benefits for $171,000 of salary. That is, I think, that is outrageous. So I looked at what you could get with the ACA for somebody earning $50,000 with one child. And then I looked at what average costs were for employers on health insurance. This was sent out under the health benefits tab down here, which I'm not going to click on, but it was like $37,000 for one person. You know, somebody making if you made $80,000, it was going to be $37,000 more in health costs. And that's just, I think that is ridiculous. Somebody may prove me wrong later, but I adjusted that to a lower number. Okay. I've got a, because the way this spreadsheet was constructed. 3475. So what we started with of a $93,000 hole is now about $14,494. So, and that's just taking out depreciation. And also the salaries here. I told you to remember the 84,000 number. So this was just picked up from the 2025 budget. So it wasn't looked at. It could possibly be, you know, say if we're doing 144 and you take out the whatever the GM and the PD were making, you know, it may be 84, it may be 70. I don't know, but that's another thing to look at. But basically, I wanted to show you that, and this has the GM number at 80. It doesn't have it at 60. It has it at 80, so it's maxed out. That's what I wanted to show y'all. Adriana?
Yes. First of all, I think that we are using terms. Like everybody said, we have interim general managers on every station. That, as Stephanie said, is absolutely true. I mean, you know, we know that we should have that no more than 6 months. You need to start. But it's the PD and the GMs. It's not only the GMs. Both need to be higher. This is the first thing. You're talking about the healthcare. Remember that they are national. They are hired by the national office. It means you cannot give to some employees because they are here. If they are permanent, if you hire those people, you need to give the same benefits that other people in the foundation has. You know that situation, we can compare that.
No.
When you go to numbers, you can go and see what's going on, for example, in KPFA, right? You cannot offer some specific healthcare benefits to some of your employees and not giving to all the others. You cannot do that. And Stephanie can talk about that. That is the first thing. And the second thing is, this is for Stephanie. And the second question is, this is since ever is like this. We know the only thing that we are changing here is we can hire. That is what I'm understanding. And I'm asking you this, Stephanie. Can we hire a permanent GM and a permanent PD and pay them almost, you know, a really small amount because they will be like volunteers. They can be permanent employees, but they can be paid really a small amount. What we are trying to say is we need to understand we cannot do what the foundation did always. They hire people, then we have the problem and we need to pay and we go into debts. What I'm saying is every station, and we in KPFT wants to do this, we need to be sure that whoever we hire, you want to call it permanent, that's fine. But whoever we have, we can pay them. They will not be going into the red for us and for the foundation. That's what I'm trying to say, and that's what the discussion that we are having. You know, KPFT need to arrive to really know what is our situation. And Stephanie, thank you, but please answer if we can give different, you know, health benefit to the people in the foundation. We can, you know our people and let KPFA, for example, or California give them whatever they want. Can we do that? Aren't they all national employees?
Please, I'd like to state that I told you that I put in the system-wide average benefit to salary ratio at 24.5%. That's what I did. So please, Stephanie.
You are correct. The insurance comes through Pacifica Foundation. It's not an individual station that chooses what the insurance is. We have different coverage for union employees as per the contracts, but that doesn't pertain here because KPFT is a non-union house. By looking at the budget like this, y'all can determine what you can afford to pay. What we need to take into consideration is if someone, what I'm looking to do is just remove the interim titles. That's what we need to do to show that we're making every effort possible to put someone in place that's not an interim position that lasts 2, 3, 4, 5 years. So by looking again at the budget, you can determine what can and cannot be afforded through your station.
Rob?
You're muted.
You're muted, Rob. You're muted. Rob, you are still muted.
Apologize. We've spent a lot of time at the on the budget of KPFT, and I think it looks pretty healthy or better. But we really should be looking at Pacifica in the sense that we're all wrapped up into one. And so I'd like for you to comment, Stephanie, on Pacifica versus KPFT. And if we went ahead and we're doing pretty dang well, and we decided to make a move and spend more money on a GMPD, whatever, would you promise us that Pacifica wouldn't, and it's my understanding, so I don't want to say anything that's incorrect, but you can take money from KPFT. Pacifica can say, we need X from the KPFT bank account.
No, we don't do that. Historically, Pacifica has done that in the past, to my knowledge, from what I've been told. But any time that there is any sort of, in the time that I have been here, I have not gone, nor has Markeisha gone into any station or division's bank account and pulled money ever. KPFT has been generous when there was a shortfall in healthcare benefits for Washington DC that we went to Sandy and we said, we have a shortfall. We also went to KPFA. We went to the affiliates. We went to those three divisions were doing well. And we asked if any of those stations would be willing to provide, money to help cover those costs. And KPFT and Sandy agreed to do that.
And what happened?
But we have never, historically, that may have been happened in the past, but I have not done that since I.
Correct. But we've spent a lot of, well, I'll say this. It is possible. So we should put that into our assumptions. And then two, should we spend any time looking at not necessarily just KPFT's budget, but really the overall situation for Pacifica? And, you know, Stephanie, do you give us assurance that if we make a decision on the KPFT budget, that we wouldn't see something that would put KPFT into a bad situation based on other stations not being as, for lack of a better word, well-run, doing as well as KPFT? I just, it's a significant issue that I think needs being addressed, and I will be quiet. Thank you.
Well, that's why we have local finance committees, so they can take a look at their budget.
I would just like to
it's
add.
It's not up to me to determine what you can and cannot afford, but by looking at your budget and encouraging these discussions and encouraging the budgets to go to the National Finance Committee when there are questions, to take a look at what can and cannot be afforded, and then being proactive as we look at the budget rather than seeing at the end of the fiscal year and say, oh, we were in the red by such and such a dollar amount, but looking at it every quarter. Some of the stations we look at it every single month as a group to project out, oh, this fund drive didn't go so well. What are we going to do to make up that difference? We're planning most, you know, we have to, if we're planning some sort of layoffs, if we're looking at a station and they're not doing well, then it's like, okay, where can we make some cutbacks? Are there some layoffs that we need to do? And then what is that going to look like in the big picture? With severances that need to be paid out, or is that going to save us money in the long run?
It's your recommendation that we should review our decisions on a GM independent, and that you're giving us your assurances that we can go forward and be able to make decisions based on our revenues and expenses.
Right.
That you won't have another issue like what happened, who knows what, a year or two ago.
What happened a year or two ago?
Again, I don't know, but we did make a contribution to Pacifica.
$52,000, which did not come back.
That was the health insurance that Stephanie alluded to.
Right. Yes. Right. And it did not come back.
Okay.
Adriana.
Thank you.
Adriana.
Yes. Okay. Rob, I agree with what you say too. Remember that this is Pacifica. Stephanie can tell us what she tried to do, what she intend to do, but you see, KPFK is really in the red. They even sold their business, their physical,
building
station, and then they went from a volunteer unpaid GM to that was entering to one that is paid when they are still in the red. We know that the decision in Pacifica, not necessarily, will help us. Like you said, it's a bunch of examples. We need to be really careful. We know that others are not doing it, but we have to do it. Like I said, in this case, it's political. KPFK doesn't have money, but now they have an interim, but pay. Before they have unpaid and they are still in the red, but now it's paid. Basically, the debts are from the whole foundation. We have two only buildings, physical buildings in this foundation, the KPFA and KPFT. And we all know that depending what happened, doesn't belong to us. The foundation will do what they have to do. That's why we need to be extra careful. That's what I believe. To be sure that we are setting an example and we are sharing to everybody, and nobody will come and take what we are trying to build here. We know the history, or at least I think that I know, and some of you know it too. We need to be really careful. We don't want to lose the only thing that we have at this point, that we have this station, at least the physical station. We need to keep looking and see what we can afford. Okay. If you want to call it permanent instead of interim, that's fine. But the decision in the money will be ours.
Okay. Thank you, Adriana. Sandy.
Yeah. Thank you. We're paying our bills. It looks pretty good, doesn't it? But we are fragile. We are very fragile. And I can't state that strongly enough. We've got antenna damage. This is not cheap. We've got a generator Mo wants put in. This is not cheap. Things can come at you. We got a transmitter that's 20 years old. And if it goes away, that's $250,000, right? You got to be thinking about these things all the time. We're very fragile. The little bit of operating money we've been able to put in the bank is a real good thing. It gets us away from a bad fund drive. And Lord knows we've had those. There's no magic. We're in a tough economy, although I have to say that our current drive is off to a really, really good start after 1 week. So I'm confident we'll hit our number. But we are very fragile. And you do have to think about this. And Lyndon, I disagree with your assessment on healthcare and the numbers you laid out. There's a little bit of smoke and mirrors there.
No, the smoke and mirrors is what you showed us.
It's a 25% loading on benefits. And if we go out and we advertise a job for GM at too low a salary, you're not going to get many applications from serious people. And we've had our share of really bad GMs. We've gone through it. We've got programmers on this call. We got Michael. We've got Lillian. Rico is involved in the studio operation. And you're asking these people to go raise more money potentially. And they have to ask the listeners. So there's a ripple effect. And we don't have that many listeners. About half of them are already sustainers, by the way. So it's a very fragile situation in which we are involved in. If there's an EEOC or FCC rule that we're in danger of violating, we've got to do something about it. There's no question about that either. We're in a consensus agreement with the FCC. One false step and we could get done in really quick. So this is a good thing to look at. The process is a good thing, but don't make the assumption that we can just go willy-nilly. And based on the smoke and mirrors you've laid out there, Lyndon, I disagree. These costs are real.
Okay. You're repeating yourself. You called me smoke and mirrors twice. I want you to look at this number.
You cannot assume the future based on the past.
$41,700 over $171,000 is 24.36%, which is the 24.5 is the system average. The number that you presented was $120,000 over $171,000, which is 70%. Now that is smoke.
Well, that comes back to Markeisha. I didn't put
I corrected it and put in something that is the standard number for the system. And you're disparaging it. You also had the depreciation in there, which I've told people for 6 weeks it shouldn't be in there. I want to look at revenue numbers and look at the 2023 actuals, the 2024 actuals. We had a 4.46% increase in revenue. On the listener side, it was almost 10% increase. Then we have that budget, that aberration in our budgeting for the 25. And this, what was presented just the other day by Sandy for the 2026 draft was at 730,000. So between 2024 and 2026, it's only a 1.86% increase in revenue. So if we go on that thinking we have to have another 200,000, this is the cumulative side of what these increases, you know, at 2% give you. And here's what it gives you at 5%. I mean, we might be at 2035 before we're, before, you know, some people think we have adequate money to proceed with hiring a GM. And that concludes my presentation. Adriana, you've got your hand raised again.
Yes. Yes, sir. This is very clear that obviously what we need, instead of what we were doing till now, we need to have more frequent finance committee meeting to see the numbers, the actual numbers. But it's true what you say, Lyndon. Sometimes you don't receive it for national, and this is for you, Stephanie. How? We can do our fiduciary responsibilities when the last numbers that we have are for September 2024. I mean, it's 5 months ago, you know. How is this being managed? What is the problem there? Why we don't have these numbers? Is that the numbers that you have? Because how can we conduct this foundation if we don't have real numbers? If we are talking about what happened 5 months ago. 5 months ago, we have even a different government, a different situation. You know, we need to have numbers. When? How? How can we have those numbers, actual numbers, not talking, you know, about the things in the air? I want to see the reality, what we really have, what we really count, not only us, the foundation. Because other people are assuming and hiring people and paying people in other stations, obviously, that they cannot pay for, right? Well, we want to be sure, but the main problem, I believe, that is nobody receiving time the information that we need. We need to have, obviously, more frequent finance committee meeting, trying to get this information, to get the most that we can, and then make informed decisions. And I don't know if you agree with that, Stephanie, but I think that is the only solution.
The bank statements are sent to the general managers. They have access to the bank statements every single day, so they know the cash flow. They know what's coming in. They know what's going out. If stations have a business manager, which technically only one does, there's usually also one other person at the station that also has access to the bank statements. And they can log in again at any time. If stations have a hard time logging in, I send out those bank statements at the end of every month, or at the beginning of every month, what was prior to the finance committees, to the LSBs, whoever is requesting it. So we have a daily look at the cash flow. The consolidated financials, we can't prepare the first quarter of this year until we get any revisions or changes from the general managers or the treasurers or the finance committees at the stations with the ones they just received. So we just had our National Finance Committee last night and confirmed that there were no revisions or changes from anyone on the consolidated financials. So now we can move forward, because if we do move forward with 1 month and then somebody goes back and says, oh, there were changes, then we have to change all of those spreadsheets. So one thing too, it's not the finances don't come out as fast as I would like them either, but it is a staff of one. A few years ago, to my knowledge, we had close to 8 to 10 people that were just working in the finance department, running, doing the finances for 8 divisions. So is it fast? No. Did I wish it would be faster? Yes. Is it possible for us to hire 10 or 15 people to do finance in the national office? No, it is not. So we're doing the best we can with what we have, but the access to the cash flow is available at any given moment. And that's what we work on when we're dealing with what bills can and cannot be paid, as we discuss that with the general managers on a regular basis or whomever is handling their bill system. And then when invoices come into the stations, they scan them, they email them to a special account, an email account that Markeisha has, that then gets processed through the check request system, bill pay system, and it gets paid. And we don't pay a bill, until we run that by the general managers and let them know these are the bills you have. Let's prioritize what needs to be paid, and then we will pay it based upon their approval.
No P&L in the near future because cash flows are
Adriana, I think that's been answered several times. And I'm like you, I wish we could get it sooner, but we just have to live with that until, you know, something can, until more people pay their central services, we can hire somebody else. Rhonda.
I was wanting to make a motion. Well, just calling attention to the clock. I'd like to make a motion to set a date for the next meeting. And I would also suggest that that meeting be an executive session, or at least there be time for that. And then I'd like to adjourn because it's 9 o'clock.
I'm not going to second that motion. As I said earlier, I think we should leave it as to be determined as to when we're going to have our next meeting, because we don't have anything else to go over. Now, if the consensus is that we want to have a meeting, an executive session, so we can talk about even more than we talked about tonight, which I don't know what that would be, then let's do it. But would you please allow us to keep letting people have their questions, raise their questions, please, Rhonda?
Well, yes, but how much longer are we going to go?
You can get off. I don't know. I really don't think you're going to miss, you know, that much, but let these other people ask their questions, please.
I'm going to put my hand back up.
Michael?
Yes. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Thank you. I'll try to be brief. And I just wanted to say that Stephanie's answer, I mean, she's worth her weight in gold, as far as I can tell. And gold's probably around 3,000 so anyway, an ounce. But anyway.
Are you sure it's in Fort Knox?
She's the gold standard. But because that answer was just, if I were smart enough to understand it, like, I would be like, yep, that's exactly the order of things. So anyway, I would like to get from Lyndon, and from Sandy and from Susan, maybe if we have how much over our current budget you think that the hiring of an ED will be. In other words, how much more do we have to fundraise? So right now, if we fundraise, say, 600,000 a year, am I close? Give or take? I just need some ballpark numbers.
Well, I think, if I may, I think this right here, as the adjustments I made, would answer that question.
I'm asking you and Sandy, if we right now ask our listener for 600,000, if we hire an general manager, how much more are we going to have to lean on our membership?
Well, I don't know why we would ask for 600 when we got 717 in 2024.
All right. I don't know. Just give me ballpark.
Okay. Money. Well, look at right here. Are you looking at the screen? You're driving, aren't you? Yeah. I will send you this schedule. But what I'm showing right now is 730,000.
20% more to pay it. Wouldn't it be? If it's 150,000 for all of that, 20% more than what, because we're basically breaking even.
In other words, if we have 700,000, that's their number, right? And we get our members to donate 700,000. If we hire an general manager, how much more do we have to raise a year? Very simple.
Would it be 20%?
The schedule.
Am I wrong? If we wanted to maintain the same reserves,
if Rob, if you're looking at the schedule that's on the screen,
I did 150,000 over 700. That's 20%.
Would you just look?
Two FTEs are 150.
Would you just look what's on the screen?
Okay.
It shows a net income of $14,500. If I give you my number,
I'm thinking we need to raise another $80,000. Is that fair? More a year if we hire an ED, a GM. More. Sandy says more. What do you think, Lyndon? $80,000 more?
What I'm showing right now. Now, this needs to be adjusted and fleshed out. We need to confirm benefits. Okay. And we would have to make a decision on what the pay was. Was it $60,000 or $80,000? What I'm showing right now on the screen says total revenue of $730,500 would do the trick.
And right now we raise how much?
In 2024, we raised $717,000.
Oh, so we're $10,000 short, according to you.
$13,000.
All right. All right. And Stephanie, I'm wondering what happens if we just decide we can't afford it? Like we tell you, the LSB tells you we can't afford it. And you know that the FCC is asking us to comply.
Well, we need to, I'm moving forward trying to remove the interim titles in general from quite a few people. So then we would have to figure out how best to have a full-time staff member that's not technically a staff member, because I would have to talk with our compliance officer about that, because you can't have a contracted general manager either. So I have had conversations already with our compliance person, so this isn't something that we just started thinking about a week ago. We just need to remove that, get rid of those titles.
Ron?
Yeah, thanks. A couple of things. One, in sort of in response to Adriana's question, you know, we have the FY 2024 numbers. So you've got a whole year of 2024 numbers through the end of the third quarter. We've got cash numbers, which tell us, what our bank account's been doing. So between the couple of those things, you can kind of piece together what's going on. I don't know that we can really predict too much about what's going on at the Pacifica national level based on this, because we don't get to weigh in on those decisions too much, but, I'm kind of wondering still, so if our revenues go up by 15,000 that we're then affording additional expenses that are in excess of that 15,000. So something's gone away, I guess, that I just don't really understand yet. So maybe we'll get a new version of this and we'll get to take a look. But I have two questions. One is for Stephanie, and that is, you said we have the national finance meeting, and that there weren't really changes. So additional financials would be coming out. Is that the next quarter? So to finish out the fourth quarter of 2024, or is that like the next
month? Those are finished. The fourth quarter of 2024 is finished. The next financials that will be coming out are October, November, December.
Stephanie, I would let Ron know that we're on October of 1 year through September of the next year.
Yeah. Right. So FY, yeah. We've got FY
2024, correct. Has been completed.
Is 100%. Yes.
But you said, and so that's in and complete, but you said that the next set was coming out. Is that like the next month or the next
quarter?
Quarter. So that'd be fourth quarter 2024. Or the first quarter of 2025's fiscal
correct.
Year.
Correct.
Yeah. Correct. So January, October, November, December, okay. February, March.
And we're expecting the October through December number. When?
I would hope probably, I know that Marquise has already started finalizing that. So I would hope within the next few weeks. We're also in the midst of a 2-year audit and 2 years of 990s.
Right.
We just completed one of the 990s. So now we're in the midst of doing the other 990. So
Ron, I guess our answer is we hope for 2 weeks from today. We hope.
Good. To get the first quarter of 2025. Correct.
And we're already in the, yeah, we're in the second quarter. So those would come out when this quarter ends.
Got it.
I don't know if, I guess Adriana, you're next.
Yes. Thank you.
Please don't ask the same questions again. Okay. Please.
Thank you, Lynn. really nice guy. Stephanie, the question is for you again, because you told that we have the same situation with any manager that is interim. We are talking about then be legal should be or to be abiding with the FCC. We should talk about general manager and PD and program directors, right? We are talking about those two positions. That first. And that's what I'm saying. We should look at those two or we can comply with one and said, well, the other one is, we were more illegal before. How that work? Are we working in both?
Yes, but it's the general manager's responsibility to hire the program director, not me. So once a general manager gets put in place, then a search can begin for a program director. If they want to hire a program director or if that person is an interim, or they can just get that program director and remove the interim title.
And I would add that this model, the spreadsheet that we're looking at here, has a GM at 80,000 and it also has a program director hired. So this is two salaried, you know, full-time positions and not just the GM.
Perfect. Can we, you said that in 2 weeks we will have the numbers. Can we put this meeting in 2 weeks?
The next I cannot guarantee that will happen. I mean, as I said, I would hope so. But again, we have one person that's doing a taxes. A 2-year audit while prepping for the next year audit and is dealing with payroll, health benefits, and it serves as the business manager for five of our divisions.
And yeah, Adriana, may I say, yes. If they get, so let's say they are published 3 weeks from now, they have to go through the PNB, and the NFC before they get released to us. So, you know, when we get those numbers, when those numbers are allowed to be released, then and when I can send them to you, we will have a meeting. I promise you. Rob.
I'll be short. I'm not a CPA. I'm new and I'm a conservative fiscal individual. Question to Stephanie. It's my understanding, and I don't read the 990s, but at one point, somewhat recently, and I might be wrong on my terms, we as Pacifica were highlighted, or there's a footnote that says there's a question of Pacifica being an ongoing entity, and I think you understand what I'm saying. What is the last time that was put on, what year was the last time that was put on our I-990?
The 990 is the tax form that we send to, it's like our 1040, an individual.
Okay, then on
whatever. This would be on our audited financial, on the audited financial statements that are done by the auditors. That has been at we are now completing the 2022-2023 audit. We're combining those. And then the 2024 audit doesn't start until June of this year. So that has been on the auditor's recommendations for at least the last 5 to 10 years.
Yep. Okay. Question. As a conservative person, when I read that, means high degree of risk. If I was thinking about buying your bonds, I would short. So help me understand my discomfort with taking on additional risk.
We have made significant changes since that audit report in 2021. I do not know what the audit report will look like for our combined year of 2022-2023, but many of the risks that were brought up at that time have been addressed. Their change in our fundraising model, a consolidation of the banks. So we don't have consolidation so we have better management over the bank statements rather than each of the divisions, because we have five stations, but then also affiliates and the archives. So there's technically seven different divisions and the national office. So there's technically eight divisions that have their own budgets that all go into one consolidated budget. And you can see that on that spreadsheet that has all of those tabs down there. So the recommendations that have been made for many, many years are making, again, certain changes to our fundraising model, which have been done, taking a close look at, you know, some of our assets, and to decrease our, not so much of our assets, but to decrease our loans that we have had. And when I first started, we had, close to $4.6 million in loan debt and close to $4.2 million in vendor debt. We're now, you know, we had to unfortunately sell the piece of property in Los Angeles, which then allowed us to pay off the $2.3 million in one of the debts and then pay down $1.3 million in another. So our loan debt is now $1.9 million, down from $4.6 million. And then our vendors that we owed, when, as I said, when I started, we were close to $4.3 million, something like that, $1 million in debt with our vendors. We're now down to a little under $500,000. And that's been with negotiating with vendors and making a concerted effort to pay those down and putting our vendors on a priority. Some of those vendor payments did have to come from the proceeds of the sale of the building in Los Angeles. And so we did make a significant dent in that. We've also had a significant decrease, fortunately, in the number of lawsuits that Pacifica seems to have experienced. And so our law debt has gone down significantly of just lawyers that we've been paying. It was very low, the actuals this last year. We have had, as Sandy said, we have had difficulties if people look at our audited financial statements for getting grants from foundations. But when those foundations, is why often, which I am constantly encouraging the stations when they're submitting a grant foundation to have it go through me, because they are giving the money to Pacifica, but it's directed toward each individual, station or division, is that I've been able to speak with a lot of foundations or with individual donors saying, yes, the audited financial statements you're looking at from 2021 do say that we're a risk, but this is what we've done since that time. This is the plan as we're going forward. Look at the consolidated financials and see what we're doing to improve those. So you can work through that. So.
I'd like to study that a little bit more and get a little bit more information. And questions that I would have with things like, we do still have a pension for all employees, and I'm getting very granular.
Unfortunately,
has that been frozen?
No, the PNB at some point opted out of that pension plan. The only people that are involved in the pension right now are KPFA. I do not know why it was opted out for the employees. We have a 403B plan across the board for people only if they contribute. KPFA started their own pension plan, so their employees have a pension plan. But it was removed before I even started.
Okay, so that's not a significant expense nor risk for the organization?
Correct.
Orders of the day?
Okay, I'm over. Sorry.
Yes. I apologize.
You can call me. Call me at any time if you have any questions. I mean, I have no problem talking to people one-on-one if they need further questions or information. It's often a lot easier just to have a more casual conversation than in these settings.
Okay. Rhonda? and then Sandy, and then I think we can call it a night.
I was just wondering, all of this conversation has brought me this question. Do we, and I don't know the correct terminology here, but as members of the board, are we protected as individuals? Do we have that type of insurance that we need to where our members, you know, the people that are participating in board work, we cannot be sued directly? Do we have that insurance right now? Because I know at one time we lost it.
Are you talking about LSB?
DNO. DNO
insurance. DNO for the LSB.
The LSB.
The DNO insurance only applies to the national board, not the local station board, because the local station board, and correct me if I'm wrong, Susan, is technically a committee of the PNB.
Correct. And our general counsel has said that the local station board does not have fiduciary responsibility.
Okay. Sandy, you got the last word.
He seems to be frozen.
Sandy? Well, if he's frozen too long, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn, but.
So moved.
Sandy.
Yeah. Hello. Sorry. My internet is truly glitching around a lot. My apologies.
You got in under the wire.
Yeah. I sense we're about to adjourn. I just want to comment, folks, we're still in Fund Drive. Tell your friends to give us a call and contribute what they can. We're making good progress. The first week was pretty stout. We got a lot of sustainer money to start. So we are we're almost to the 60% mark. We should cross that line tomorrow or the next day. And we've just been at it a week. So we're doing really well. Also on Saturday, we'll be doing a live broadcast from Cactus Records for those of you that are interested from 2 to 5 p.m. We'll be collecting food for the Manna Food Pantry there. So if you have extra cans or shelf-stable foods, fill up those boxes. Let's feed a few people.
Thank you very much, everyone.
Yep.
When is that? It's Cactus?
Cactus Records on Norfolk, Saturday. The broadcast is 2 to 5 p.m.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I didn't have an adjournment time. I think somebody did make a motion to adjourn. Is that Susan? Yeah. Okay, Susan, we are adjourned. I would like to thank Stephanie for staying with us this long. I'd like to thank all the LSB members and Sandy for
16-hour day, buddy.
Thanks, Sandy. Yeah.
So thank you, everybody, and thank you, Otis, if you're still there. And you can take us off the stream.
You're wonderful people.
Thank you.
Bye, y'all.
Bye-bye.